Grace be unto you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and firstborn from the dead, him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to our God and Father. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so. Amen. The word of God upon which we meditate this Sunday is taken from the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, in whom our faith and hope rests, fellow redeemed in his precious blood. The earth is doomed, so say certain high-profile politicians. It's true. The earth that now exists will be destroyed. But it won't be because of man-made climate change. The end of the earth will come as the result of an act of God, not an act of nature. Moreover, it isn't just the earth that will be destroyed, but the entire universe and all created things. Even as the earth once known to Adam and Noah was destroyed by floodwaters, so the Apostle Peter in this second letter tells us that the earth that we now know is being preserved and reserved for judgment by fire. Very big changes are coming. These changes aren't millions of years in the future, as physicists suggest, when Earth's sun uses up its fuel and the Earth becomes too cold to support human life. While we don't know exactly when these events will occur, we are told here that they will occur suddenly, and for many, unexpectedly. How do we know? Well, in the Word of God before us this morning, God the Holy Spirit tells us how this world will come to an end. The cataclysmic day is called the Day of the Lord and the Day of God, because God himself will make the changes to his creation. This is not merely the forecast of a politician or some human being. This is the word of God himself on the matter, and he does not lie. He tells us these things, and therefore we take them seriously, and we ask ourselves, how should these coming changes affect us? Our conduct, our attitude, our hope, our watching, our growth. We find the answers in this scripture. May God the Holy Spirit also chase our fears of that day and lead us instead to live godly and sober lives, preparing our hearts through his word. To that end, we begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, no one knows the hour of your return, and so I ask that you keep me watchful and ready for that day. Lead me daily to repent of my sins and live for you by faithfully serving my neighbor, speaking to him of your completed work on Calvary. As the signs of the end continue to intensify, take away my fear and let me lift up my head in joyful confidence and anticipation, for my redemption is close at hand. Awaken me from spiritual slumber and apathy, so that I no longer indulge the sinful deeds of darkness, but clothe myself with you and your armor of light. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. It's easy to slip into the habit of thinking that the world in which we live will just keep on forever. After all, in our lifetimes, we've watched people come and go, and yet the earth seems to be completely the same. It keeps spinning and seems hardly to change at all. There are places on this earth that we frequent that seem not even to change from year to year. We might think to ourselves, the earth will be around long after I'm gone. But God's word does not teach us that the earth will go on forever. On the contrary, God tells us that he has established a day upon which he will take the earth and the universe down. After all, God is primarily concerned with humankind, with people, not with the earth itself. This earth has been corrupted by sin and subjected to futility. The day of the Lord will come. People may mock the idea, but the day will come, and for many it will come, as Jesus said, like a thief in the night, suddenly and unexpectedly. And the Apostle Peter here tells us that the heavens, that is everything above us as far as it goes, the universe, will pass away, will come to an end with a great noise or sound. The ordered structure of the universe will come apart, will be dismantled. The word that's used here to describe that sound is the sound of an arrow passing through the air, the rumbling of thunder, the crackle of flame or of a whip, and the rushing of great waters. Hard to describe. That's why the word is used to describe so many different things. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their host shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as fruit falling from a fig tree." It's not just the universe that will come to an end. The earth and everything in it will melt and be burnt up. All of the things that make up the earth will be dissolved by burning, and all of the mighty works of mankind. Think of all the skyscrapers. Think of Mount Rushmore. All of these things will perish by fire. The form of this world, as the Apostle Paul said it, will pass away. Which sounds terrifying, doesn't it? Until we remember that we will not be destroyed with it, but will witness these things from a safe distance, having been caught up to meet the Lord. The Holy Spirit revealed to the Thessalonian Christians why you and I need not fear, when he said, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. None of this is told us to frighten us, but rather to help us see clearly how foolish it is to place our hopes and our hearts upon things that are going to be burnt up. So now what? What difference does it make to know that Jesus will suddenly appear and the universe and the earth will pass away? What effect should this have on our daily lives, on our attitudes in life? Well, it's one thing to be blindsided by the day of the Lord. When Jesus appears suddenly and unexpectedly, for many, their lives are going to change, to be interrupted. They'll have to face the fact that Jesus really is the Son of God, really is Lord. But it's another thing to know it's coming. We don't know the day or hour, that's true. But unlike many, we expect, we anticipate the coming of Jesus. It will be sudden, to be sure, but not unexpected. It won't be like a thief for us, but instead like a loving brother who suddenly bursts through the open door with open arms to scoop us up in an embrace. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? In holy conduct, in godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. When we expect visitors for the holidays, we prepare, right? I mean, we vacuum the carpet. We clean the kitchen and the bathrooms. We make the beds that our visitors are going to sleep in. We plan to provide them with food and drink. Why, we might even dust. We expect the Lord Jesus to return. And so we prepare for it. We make every effort to turn from sin and live holy and godly lives, not so that people glorify us, but rather so that they glorify the Savior who lived for us, died for us, and rose again for us. We don't live holy lives in order to earn a place in the Father's house. The reservation's already been made. Our names are already on the doors. God's grace has seen to that. While we wait, we strive to be about the business which He has given to us, which amounts to telling others that the good news is that Jesus' life is their life. That Jesus' death also delivers them. That Jesus' resurrection is the receipt of their debt of sins paid too. That's the work that's been given to us. So how do we hasten or speed the day of the Lord, as it seems to say here? Well, we can't, actually. The Lord Himself has set the day of judgment, and it isn't dependent upon your pastor or you or any other human being. It may seem from our point of view that we can hurry its coming by being about the work Jesus has given to us, in part because Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." In this case, that word hasten can simply be translated earnestly desire, which surely fits the context better than the other. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Yes, we want to be prepared for the day our Savior returns. How are we to be prepared? By being good? Well, sort of. This isn't like that brand of moralism that's right around the corner that some parents use to try to get their children to be better during the Christmas season. You know what I'm talking about. This isn't like trying to be good for goodness' sake so that an imaginary obese man might bring us good gifts. It doesn't work that way with God. Thank goodness. If we had to be good to be forgiven and to be given a place in heaven, why, we would never be given either. We are at peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are considered by God without blame and spot. For God's word declares that we have been justified, declared not guilty of sin through faith in what Jesus did. If we remain by faith in Christ, then we will be found on that day without spot and blameless, because the perfect life of Christ is credited to us. But let's admit it, there are times when we're impatient, like the children in the back seat on a long vacation, who ask every 10 minutes, "Are we there yet?" Instead of being impatient, instead of doubting that the Lord will return because of the passage of time, let's remember, as the Apostle Peter here says, that God's patience is the reason that we ourselves have been saved. If God had simply condemned our first parents instead of having mercy on them, if God had simply condemned us the first time that we sinned, the gig would have been up a long time ago. The fact that Jesus hasn't returned testifies to his patience and to the desire of God that many more should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yes, Jesus' patience, his mercy, means salvation for us and for other people, which is why we don't waste time, but talk about Jesus every chance that we get. We must also continue in God's word, verses 15 through 18. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. The Apostle Peter considered the Apostle Paul to be a fellow worker, even though Paul had never been one of the 12 disciples. Peter recognized that the words that Paul wrote in his epistles and letters, which we find in our New Testament today, those words had been given to him by God the Holy Spirit. And while there were in them some things difficult to understand, Peter said they were to be received and to be used. And it wasn't just that they were to use them. They were to be on guard and see to it that those used words weren't misused or twisted, lest they fall from their hold in Christ and lose eternal life. We should carefully use the scriptures today ourselves. We need to be in them and know them well. Why? Because not every preacher preaches the truth. Not every evangelist proclaims the gospel of Jesus. Not everyone who calls you friend is a friend. Satan uses the error of the wicked to try to topple Christ's people. And if we are to be prepared, then we need to recognize that fact and not assume that everyone who calls himself Christian or Lutheran speaks the truth. But finally, the day of the Lord won't only mean that the heavens, the universe, and the earth will be destroyed, dismantled. There will be now a new dwelling place for God's people. Look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. When you think about the day of the Lord, don't only think about Jesus coming to judge. Don't only think about the universe passing away with a great noise. Don't only think about the earth being burned up and all of its works. Think of this, that our universe will be rebuilt. Earth recreated. But now, as it was in the very beginning, before sin, it will be the home of righteousness. There will be no more sin, no evil, no violence, no war, no cruelty, no crime. The voice of weeping, the prophet Isaiah said, will no longer be heard, nor the sound of crying. John said in Revelation, God will dwell with us, and we will see him as he really is. And this isn't pie in the sky. It is written, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There are big changes coming. Thank God. God help us to prepare for it every day. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.